This is Miss Melissa, the Bathtub Mermaid, and you're listening to Tales from the Tub. Welcome back to the Dog Days of Advent. What's the Dog Days of Advent? Well, it's a quirky little cousin of the Dog Days of Podcasting, except in December, we're maybe not so strict. Some of us do 24 days, some of us do 12, and some of us just post here and there. You can find the link to the Mondo feed with everyone's posts at dogdaysofpodcasting.com. This episode is a twofer, and the first one, for number 21, is Gift. Magic made by them, Jordan thought as she stood in front of the bicycle, wobbly, glittering, slightly lopsided, and absolutely the most beautiful thing she had seen all week. She didn't move for a moment, just took it in, the tree lights catching on chrome and ribbon and little glimmers. It was finished. Actually, finished. She and Trisha had built it with their own four hands, two questionable YouTube tutorials, and one bottle of wine. Trisha stepped beside her, cheeks flushed, hair escaping its clip. "We did it," she whispered, as if the bike might collapse if she spoke too loudly. Jordan nodded slowly. She kept staring at the handlebars, the shiny bell, the pink basket threaded with ribbon Trisha had woven through the slats. This mess of metal and determination had come together. Somehow. 2 hours earlier, the living room had looked like a crime scene involving chrome and poor decisions. Jordan had unfolded the instruction booklet and immediately regretted everything. "Are these diagrams interpretive?" she asked, rotating the pages if that might help. Trisha leaned over her shoulder, squinting. "This one looks like a wheel." "That's the warning label. It's a very wheel-shaped warning label." Jordan laughed so hard she almost lost the screw she was holding. That probably should have been the moment they stopped for the night, but stopping wasn't in the plan, and definitely wasn't in their parenting philosophy. Their daughter would wake up expecting magic, and they were determined to deliver it despite the technical difficulties. They pressed on, holding the bolts in place with dramatic optimism while washers vanished into the carpet and the Allen wrench made repeated unauthorized trips under the couch. At one point, Jordan was fairly certain she had attached a piece upside down, but Trisha was laughing too hard for her to admit it. "Midnight mass for the mechanically inept," Jordan declared, raising her wine glass. "Amen," Trisha said with solemnity only the tipsy could manage. Piece by piece, through cooperation, stubbornness, and a shared sense of humor, the bicycle took shape. A wheel found its footing, handlebars connected with a reluctant click. The basket went on after a brief negotiation with several uncooperative screws. Now, in the quiet glow of the living room, Jordan finally exhaled. Trisha slipped an arm around her waist, warm and steady. "She's going to lose her mind," Jordan murmured. "In the best possible way," Trisha replied. The lights of the tree blinked, gentle and soft, casting the room in a warm pulse of color. Jordan reached out and tapped the front tire lightly, testing the balance one more time. The bike wobbled slightly, settling into its new center of gravity. Number 22. Train. The bike wobbled slightly, settling into its new center of gravity. It hung from the vertical rack at the end of the train car, one pedal knocking softly against the metal brace as the train shifted. Eleni reached out without thinking and steadied it, fingers brushing the cold frame. The movement was small, but it traveled. Overhead luggage rattled, coffee and travel mugs sloshed into tiny crescents. She had three finals behind her, one term paper submitted at 11:57 p.m., and a ticket home that had cost more than she wanted to think about. The bike was her compromise. Too expensive to leave on campus, too likely to sit untouched until January. The car lights flickered once, not ominously, just uncertain. Outside the window, the snow that had been falling steadily since before dawn wasn't snow anymore. It streamed sideways in long silver arcs, glowing faintly, as if each flake had remembered how to make its own light. "Well," murmured the man across the aisle, pulling his scarf tighter, embracing his rolling suitcase with one foot. "That's new." No one panicked. It was a holiday train. Everyone was tired, half asleep, wrapped in the dull patience that came from delayed departures and shared inconvenience. A little strangeness barely registered. A soft chime sounded overhead. It wasn't the conductor's voice. It wasn't any announcement Elena had ever heard in 4 years of riding this line back and forth between school and home. The sound felt musical, like the opening note of a song someone had started in another room. The train slowed, then stopped. There were no tracks beneath them, no trees flashing past, no sky in any direction she recognized. Beyond the windows stretched a wide expanse of deep violet light, like the dusk layered over starlight, shifting gently as if moved by a tide no one could see. A door appeared where there hadn't been one before. Not the end of the car door. This one was narrower, curved, its outline faintly luminous, as if it had been sketched into existence and only just agreed to stay. Someone stood there. They were tall and composed, not quite human, but close enough to be reassuring. Their features carried the soft familiarity of old memories. Faces glimpsed in dreams, professors half-remembered, strangers who once helped carry a box up a stairwell. "Welcome," they said, their voice resonant in a way that felt rather than heard. "You're right on time." A woman near the front let out a short laugh. "Time for what?" "For the interstice," the being replied easily. "The pause between departures." Elena felt something settle in her chest at the word pause. Not stop. "Is this allowed?" someone asked. The being smiled. "Journeys create their own permissions." One by one, passengers stood. No one rushed. No one needed to. Elena unhooked her bike from the rack and wheeled it forward, the tires humming softly against the threshold as she crossed into the violet light. The ground beyond the train felt warm beneath her boots. The air tasted faintly sweet, like oranges remembered from childhood winters. Overhead, points of light gathered, 12 of them, arranging themselves into a slow, deliberate circle. A presence beside her spoke gently. "This space appears for travelers who are carrying more than they think they are." Elena thought of her backpack, heavy with books she would not open again until January. Thought of her parents' house, unchanged and waiting. Thought of how it felt to belong in two places and fully in neither. "Will we be late?" she asked. "No," the being said. "You'll arrive exactly when you're meant to." Time loosened its grip. People talked. Someone laughed. A child traced glowing shapes in the air. The man with the suitcase leaned his case against a low table and accepted a steaming bowl of something that smelled like warmth, translated into food. Elena rested her hands on her bike's handlebars, feeling steady again. Eventually, the chime sounded once more. The doorway reappeared. "It's time," the being said kindly. The train car returned around them without urgency. Seats, windows, overhead racks. The bike clipped back into place with a soft, familiar click. The lights flickered. Snow resumed its ordinary fall. The train lurched forward, metal on metal, sound and motion returning to their expected patterns. Most passengers sat quietly, gazes unfocused, as though holding something fragile just behind their eyes. Elena looked out the window, watching the snowfall steady itself back into the ordinary world. Thanks for listening. Remember that you can find all my stuff at patreon.com/bathtubmermaid and bathtubmermaid.com, which also hosts full credits and show notes.